Good morning. Hey Siri, what's the temperature in Cancun? My Siri has an Australian accent. Hey, I'm looking forward to First Wednesday, this Wednesday evening, and I hope you'll join us. It's just a time to have communion together as a family of believers. And then I'm going to continue a bit of a series on healing, and we're going to be praying for the sick again. I just think we need to contend for that truth. It's so easy sometimes to believe in a truth, but not be activated in that truth, not to press into that truth. And it's true because it's true, but we need to, by faith, step into the truths of God. Somebody said, amen. Help me preach today. Even though it's cold outside, let's make some fire on the inside. I'm starting a new series today. I just love and adore God's house. And throughout the year, we do installments of a series that we call Heart for the House. And just the love for God's house and the love for local church and the love for the values that make Harvest what it is and what we hold on to as a church, and love to share those from time to time and remind us that we're to have a heart for the house of God. And then what I want to do is talk to you a little bit about the presence of God and how important it is to us as a church. And today I want to talk to you about the pursuit of presence. If you have notes, and if you don't, you can put your hand up and one of our hosts would be happy to bring you a set of notes. Or there's probably a QR code somewhere where you can just download them. But Heart for the House, the pursuit of presence. I'm going to talk to you also about the power of His presence. And then in our third week, the peace of His presence and how to find peace in difficult situations because you have practiced the discipline of coming into His presence. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the gift, Lord, in this day that we live, where the worshipers will worship you in spirit and truth. As you told the woman at the well, you said the time has now come. And Lord, that we are in a beautiful time in history, Lord, where you are just pouring out the grace of your presence all over the world. Lord, thank you for this truth here at Harvest. And Lord, that we would press in these days, pursue the very presence of God in our midst. We would be known for our pursuit of you. Today, I ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, when we look at the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, and the book of Acts really outlines God's intention for his church. We quickly realize who church is for. We sometimes lose sight of this. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And as we really understand that the house of God is not only for those who know Jesus, but more so for those who don't know him, and that they would have a place where they can belong before they believe, where they can experience the power and the presence of a loving God who is not against them, but is for them. God's love is expressed to them, and they can respond to that love by repenting, which simply means to turn from the way they're going, from the way they're thinking about God, and begin to turn and come toward God. And so in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I bring it to your attention because this is not a message that was being preached out on a sidewalk somewhere. This was a message that was being preached in the house of God, that Peter was in the company of people who were experiencing the power and the presence of God. They were asking, how do we know God? How does this happen? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Bible continues to talk about this growth that is expected in a local church. Local churches are supposed to be growing, and they're growing because people are being saved. Say, being saved. They're finding God. They're being saved from sin and coming into relationship with Jesus. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts. And so small groups and corporate meetings, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number in those settings daily those who were being saved. In other words, it was never God's intention for church to be a gathering of people who all had the same value, all had the same lifestyle, all had same doctrine, so that we become a club or society. And I read you the story that was penned so many years ago from the Anglican, I believe it was the Anglican priest, that talked about the rescue station. How many were in that service, heard me tell the story about the rescue station? Four of you. Oh, wow. Okay. Get that one. And the rest of you, come next week as well, because then you get to hear all of the sermons in order. All right? Important to be here each and every week. How many remember now the life-saving station story? A few more. All right. I should have it here so I could read it again. So it was never God's intention. What happens is churches often become that place because they start to choose who's included and who's excluded, who's in and who's out. But when we get on mission, and we are, we become a place where where people can know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. People can belong before they believe, which is why we would have a name tag Sunday, just to make it that much easier for someone. This might be a brand new experience. You might be here for the very first Sunday, and my tag came off. And so this is simply because we have so many people that are coming each week that are first timers, and we love that. We want to remember your name. We want to know your face. And as you get into small group, we can learn your story. Now, when you begin doing church that way, and as we started, we found out things can kind of get messy. We call it messy church because people come at all stages of their brokenness. Is that right? We're all at different stages of our brokenness, and it can get real messy. And I used to think that there were a lot of just really simple answers to a lot of complicated issues. And I began realizing that there are no simple answers to complicated issues, but that's okay. We just got all right with that. And our objective at Harvest is not to decide who's in and out, but is to have clear lines. Our objective is not to have clear lines of who's in and who's out, but to create a clear path to Jesus. Somebody say, clear path to Jesus. We want to build environments where people can know and experience God. Restaurants and organizations know this really, really well. And know the importance of creating welcoming and good environments so that patrons hear about it and they'll frequent that place and they'll come back to that place. And really good environments are not accidental. They're not left to chance. They're very, very intentional. I was talking to Ted and Mia this week, and they took their boys to Great Wolf Lodge. And I asked how that was, and they just described how much fun the kids had. And then they jumped right to, this place is amazing because of the environment, the ethos, the culture that's throughout the whole organization. Everybody is so welcoming. Everybody is so helpful. Even though we dropped a ton of money, like more than we wanted to, we were happy about it because everybody there was happy about it. And they talked about the place where the kids go and put tokens into the arcade games. My parents are aware of this place. It's a very expensive place that the kids, there's lights and sounds, and then tickets come pouring out of the machines. And then they take these tickets to a redemption counter, and there's piles of junk behind the counter that are intriguing to the children. It looks like treasure and gold, and they're holding hundreds and hundreds of these tokens, and they can spend them. And then some kids, they're thrifty, and so they decide, as they're looking, they go, no, this doesn't look so good. I'd rather have that one. And 15, 20 minutes goes by as kids are trying to figure out what they want to buy. And I remember doing this with my kids, and I'm going, just spend them quick. You got 30 more seconds, and we're getting out of here. And Ted and Mia described how patient the man behind the counter was, indulging the kids in this. Cultures are intentional. We work at them. We learn from Scripture that God inhabits some atmospheres and cultures, and others he avoids and he stays away from. And as we make corporate worship an intentional value and priority at Harvest, we will be those who are pursuing his presence, that tangible presence of the Holy Spirit that can actually be felt in our times of worship. And you know what? I never, ever get tired of the stories, hearing the stories, people saying, I felt something in that service I've never felt before. It was actually a little overwhelming. I cried most of the service. In fact, I've cried for the first several services, and I don't usually cry. Why am I crying? I love the energy in that place. It's so positive and uplifting. We tell them it's not an it, but a him. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's here in the room. God made himself so real to me during that service. And those stories make me smile because there's nothing more that I want as a pastor, that people would come into an environment where they can be comfortable, put their guard down, and they can know God. In other words, they can experience him. This is the closest thing the people will get to this side of heaven. The presence of God in a corporate service is the closest that anyone will get to what is going on in heaven. 24, well, there's no time in heaven, but throughout eternities, we read in Revelation that what happens in heaven's atmosphere is constant worship around the throne of God. And we're invited. John on the Isle of Patmos, if you read it in Revelation, he hears as he's before the Lord in God's presence, he says, come up here. He says, God, do I come up there? And it says John was in the Spirit. And it's not that we, you know, meditate and we start floating or anything like that. But there's a sense in which it, because the Spirit person, Jesus told the woman at the well, those that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. It's our spirit connecting with God's Spirit in this beautiful moment of intimate love exchange where we see him face to face, experience him. One of the verses that's been so important to Christina and I, and that this house was founded on, because we had grown up in church all our life, and we had amazing experiences, and our heritage is rich in the Holy Spirit, and it's wonderful. But in the area of God's presence on a Sunday morning, it was left to chance, because doctrinally, people were afraid of, well, you know, God will come when he wants to. God will show up in a service when he wants to. And so we longed for the presence of God, but we would kind of come service after service after service, and week after week after week, and then once in a while there would be a Sunday morning where there just would be such a sense of God's presence. And as a kid, those would be the Sundays pastor didn't preach. He would come into the mic and he goes, wow, God's presence is so powerful here. We're just going to keep doing this, and I don't need to preach today. And there was a longing for, but there was there wasn't an understanding where, for us, that you could actually experience that all the time. Say all the time. We didn't have to wait for God. They waited once for the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Jesus said, you go up and wait. The waiting for the Holy Spirit to move, can I just tell you, is over. We don't have to wait for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is waiting for us to engage the principles of the Word. And so Christina and I started getting some teaching, and we were in environments where this was happening. And I mean, we were wrecked for anything less. And this scripture in Exodus became really a hallmark scripture for us. And God was calling Moses to lead the people. He was called to be a set person or a main leader. And it's our model of how we have senior pastors in churches today. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses says to God, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your and your people from the other people on the face of the earth? God, what will distinguish us from that group or that group? A bowling team, a pickleball club, a golf club, or any other club where people gather, maybe even clubs where they have amazing humanitarian purpose. God, what will make us different? Because this is the house of God. God, what makes us different is when your presence is so powerfully in our midst. People go, I met Jesus in that service. God, will you go with us? What else will distinguish? And Moses' heart asking this question, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. when Jesus died, rose again, and the Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost, the doorway into his presence is wide, wide open. This morning, I'm talking to you about having a heart for the house, but being a church that will pursue his presence. And this is so important for so many reasons. In the book of Acts, we see God moving and people finding Jesus. And I want you to understand and see this morning that the manifest or the tangible presence of God that comes in the praises of his people comes amongst the people who are pursuing presence and understands these scriptural undergirdings and guidelines that we can enjoy and know God's presence all of the time, not only corporately, but of course in our private lives, and I'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks. But people discovering Jesus, the most powerful, powerful evangelism tool is Jesus. Not talking about him, not trying to convince somebody's head about it, but a miracle, a healing, a presence of God, something other than where somebody realizes, oh my goodness, he is real. And we look at the New Testament model, and that was the model for people getting saved. It is the model. And somehow, as churches moved away from making room for the and expecting the unchurched to be in their services and became clubs where everybody in the room knows about Jesus, knows how to pray, knows how to do everything that's going on, and then they start praying for revival, that somehow God would people get saved. And God's saying, open the doors, the fields are wide unto harvest. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that the synagogue model isn't going to work, but the multitude model is the model where God says, let them know that they are loved. God so loved the... Well, in Acts, Gentiles were getting saved, non-Jewish people, and that was blowing their circuits. They didn't understand. They didn't understand. We weren't expecting that person to get saved. We weren't expecting that person to start coming to church. Did you know that that person's coming to harvest? And so they're struggling with it. And so there's a council meeting in Jerusalem, and almost entirely made up of Jewish people. And the Jerusalem Council comes together, and they had to shift their thinking hard, a hard shift, because God was doing something beyond them. James, the pastor of the church, speaks up as he has an aha moment, and he quotes a scripture from the Old Testament. He quotes it, and here it is. He says, the words of the prophets are in agreement with what's happening. As is written, after this I will return and I will rebuild David's fallen tent or tabernacle or place of meeting. We could say church today, David's style of church. Its ruins I will rebuild. I will restore it so that, the reason being, that the rest of mankind, those who don't know God, may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things. What the scripture, the aha moment was, oh, right. This is what the prophet said, that the style of God's house would be exactly what David was building when David, in his audacity, said, we're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, into a place where anybody can come and enjoy it. Anybody can experience it. We're going to have 500 trumpet players. We'll have 144,000 vocalists. And as you read the amount of volume and sound that was coming out of David's place where he gathered, David's style of church, it was loud, it was vibrant, it was a heart that was pursuing the presence of God. Which house was God building in the last day? They knew right away in Acts where the Holy Spirit is and where worship is, where people are passionate about God's presence. Somebody said? So we want to make sure that's how we're building. We want to build the same way so that people who don't know Jesus but bear his name. In other words, God said, it is not my will that any should perish. How many should go to hell? None. And God says, open the doors, go into the highways and by, invite them in, be bringers and bring them to the house of God. God's building that house. We want to be a part of that. The house that that King David the Psalmist built for God's presence. We're going to look at it just for a moment, just to understand this idea that people will know God in his presence. That's where they're going to discover and find him, where he is. Seek the Lord while and where he can be found. When David became king, the Ark of the Covenant, which is where God said, I will be above the cherubim, where God's presence literally was behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. Israel had left it in somebody's house for 40 years. For 40 years, they did church without God's presence. They did services. They went through all the religious stuff. But for 40 years, they did church without God. I'm going to just tell you, that would be boring. That would be awful. That would be terrible. I don't want to attend that church. I don't want to be where it's boring and empty and devoid because the people of God didn't even notice God didn't show up for church this morning. So David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds. So that's his leadership team. And then he said to the whole assembly of Israel, to everybody, he said, if it seems good to you, if it seems good to you, and if it is the will of our Lord, our God, let us send word far and wide. I'm not sure what you have faith is far and wide, but North Lunenburg to me is not far and wide, but it's close. But think about the region. Think about what we're called to do in this region. If it seems good to you, it's the will of God. Let us send word all across this region. Let's send word all over this area to the rest of the people throughout all the territory of SDNG and Eastern Ontario and Quebec, if we have faith for it, and also to the priests and the Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands to come and join us. Let's bring the Ark of God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to this because it seemed right to all the people. All right, this morning, I want to know if it feels right to you that we would pursue David's model, that we would be a church that was pursuing the presence of God, that we would begin to understand that there can be a call to the region, to all the peoples in this area, to our friends, to our relatives, to our coworkers. Will you come with us to the house of God? Because the Ark of God is in our midst and the presence and the power of God is here to heal the sick, to deliver the addicts, to set people free, to take the brokenness of life and bring healing. Come to the house of God. Does that seem right to you guys? Go ahead and put your hands together and begin to thank God if that seems right to you this morning. Man, I was hoping for a little more than that. Just indulge me. Just like, just go for it right now. That seems right to us, Pastor. That really seems right to us. Online, give me a little clap emoji. Come on. Come on, a little clap emoji online this morning. All right. Well, this is how we do it. Pastor Roy and all of Harvest were dancing in the presence of God with all their might, with songs, harps, tambourines. No, we don't allow tambourines at Harvest. This was David, and we'll take the hit on this one, all right? We'll take the hit on the tambourine. We have tambourine-like, in the spirit, spiritual tambourines. So we got that covered. Cymbals and trumpets. Number one, if we're going to pursue God, if this seems right to us, just a fresh challenge this morning. It means all in worship. It means all in worship. It means all in worship. They were all in. You see, something powerful happens when we're all together corporately. And all of us come into that place of worship. And you've experienced this where it just seems like every person in the room has their hands raised. It just seems like every person is somehow just engaged in the joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And there's just a sense I've got to express how I feel right now. I want to bring my praise. And just, it's not just volume or jumping. It's an indication that my heart is open. I'm ready. I'm pursuing. I'm not holding back. I want all that God has for me this morning. I'm coming in expectation, Lord. I'm coming in faith, believing that you are here in the praises of your people. And when God's people do that together, all in, something happens. God recognizes that and God begins to respond to that. Maybe you're someone who doesn't get warmed up until the third song. Can I encourage you this morning? Make sure you're here for the first song. Let me just say that. Let me just say that we should be here for the first song. If our worship time is this important, that it's crucial for us to meet with God, it's crucial that we create an atmosphere of expectation and faith. God's presence is here powerfully, and that we have a responsibility. Those of us that understand this morning are hearing this. We have a responsibility, like David's priest who shouldered the ark, They carried the presence of God. That you would be someone that comes a little early. You're here. You're ready. Back in the day, we used to have pre-service prayer. Just a time to kind of say, let's get ready. But when we went to two services and our worship team is here at sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning, it makes that difficult. So we want you to come ready, expectant. Be here for the first song. Say first song. Be expectant, be ready, indicating to the Lord, my heart, I'm all in. I want this. I want to be a part of a company of people here at Harvest. Because here's what happens. When we all enter in, we create an atmosphere that makes it easy for someone who doesn't know Jesus to experience it. Sometimes we're letting the person next to us carry the ark. We're just feeling kind of lazy. And it's okay. There are Sundays that I need someone to have faith for me too. Some Sundays I just need someone, but I still come prepared and I'm here and I know the cost of not carrying it. And I've learned the cost of that. No, I'm going to be someone who shoulders today. I'm going to do all in worship. Amen. All right. The Bible says sing praise about the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. I've been in some services, not here at Harvest, but unfortunately, as I've been around and had a chance to preach in different places, I've been in some places where there's some pretty inglorious praise. And by that, I mean people like they just don't get it. And there isn't excellence. And there just isn't a sense of, we're doing this for you, Jesus. Our sacrifice, we give our best. And it could be even that the worship team has excellence and they're just going for it. And everybody in the congregation is doing like a stare down with the worship team. Ask our worship team sometime there are scary Sundays. When people just haven't quite come ready and we're not pursuing and they're doing their best up here and they got people, look at their arms and they're just staring in. That's a hard crowd. And I've been in churches where that's just, and they're playing the same music we do, but the people don't understand what it means to be in a corporate gathering, to be someone who's going to pursue and make what we're doing right now, make it glorious. Say, make it glorious. It's up to us. God will visit once in a while. He will. And I grew up, he visited, but he was saying, I want to do this all the time. Just make my praise glorious. I am worthy of praise. Make it glorious and my glory will fill the room. Come on, let's make his praise glorious at Harvest. Number two, pursuing God's presence means prioritizing time with him. As you come, we don't worship just on Sunday. David said, I've asked one thing from the Lord. Team, you can come up. I've asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I really seek, that I may remain in the Lord's temple the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. He's saying, I want to go to that place that I built. Where the musicians in David's tabernacle, there was 24 hour a day, 7 day a week. It never stopped. The worship of God never stopped. And David would go after a busy day and go down after being king, and he would sit in the presence of God. In the New Testament, there's a woman who's sitting by a well. And Jesus and the Samaritan woman get into a conversation in John chapter 4 about worship. And as they're discussing it, Jesus says this, in the context of what we're talking about this morning, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, she doesn't understand what he's talking about. She thinks he means the natural water in the well. He's talking about his presence. He's talking about God incarnate is sitting with you at a well. He's here, close. God is so close. Jesus in the flesh, here I am. And I am sitting beside you, Samaritan lady. And I want you to experience living water. You just have to ask for it. You just have to say, I want this. If you knew who I was, if you knew I was right here, if you knew I come longing to be with you as much as you would long to be with me, I would pour out my presence and I would give you living water. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, the natural water. The things that you and I get thirsty for. And just at times we get dry, and instead of understanding that maybe if I feel parched and dry, when was the last time I was really pursuing the presence of Jesus, sitting beside him at that place of his presence? When was the last time I really had an encounter with him like that? And instead, we've been drinking natural water. We've been drinking from the social media, politics, and just filling and filling. Or maybe we've gone other places to try to quench the thirst of our life. He said, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me that water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. In other words, she's saying, give me that water because that sounds better than the water I'm trying to get from pursuing a relationship I have no business being in. That sounds better than the water that I've been pursuing on social media. That sounds better than the water where I have to keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. But you're talking about something. Yes, in a moment I can be changed and actually wrecked for anything else. The one thing, David said, the one thing I know that I need is the water of his presence. When was the last time you really sat next to Jesus and drank of his presence? Number three, pursuing presence means knowing what well you're drinking from. How are you trying to quench your thirst? Have you lost your thirst for his presence? It's subtle. It's happened to in my life. Any of us who have been serving the Lord for any time, the deserts happen. It's a time to just ask the question, have I been drinking in the wrong sources? Have I been going to the wrong wells, the ones that will never satisfy? You know, when Mom used to say it, supper's in an hour. No, you can't have a snack right now. It's subtle. You can actually lose your appetite for presence because you've replaced it for something else. There's a banquet table set before us this morning. I love when I eat in a restaurant in Eastern Ontario, Quebec. I'm from Western Ontario originally, but we have spent now most of our lives here. But I still do not get tired when I'm in a French restaurant or French proprietor's. Bon appetit. Enjoy this experience. We just, you know, have a good appetite. But if you're a Francophone today, you know there's a desire of the person who's prepared the meal. I hope you enjoy this. I hope you experience this. I hope you taste every spice and nuance of what's happening here. I hope the environment is suitable. Bon appetit. Jesus spreads a table, the Bible says. Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land. where there just is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Just a challenge today, Heart for the House. I'm wondering if you just hear the Holy Spirit say today, let's have a fresh desire for living water. That experience with him where in a moment we were transformed and changed. It caused us to keep coming back like David. Oh, I've been in the sanctuary. I've beheld you. I've experienced this before, but Holy Spirit, I'm going to be honest this morning. It's been a while. And I felt like I've been going through the motions on Sunday, and I'm trying, but today I realize I need to refresh that appetite. You've been sitting by the well with me while I drop a bucket in and get natural things when you're saying, if you really knew I was here with you, you would ask me. All across this room, online this morning, just ask him. Ask him right now. Jesus, I'm thirsty. I'm so thirsty. I need your presence. I need to behold you in the sanctuary. Lord, I'm asking right now, there would be a fresh passion for your presence here in this place. We would be known in the sound of worship. Lord, as the prophets prophesied in our very first services, in our very first service, and continued in those early years, this will be known as a house of worship. And the sound of music will be heard, not naturally, but that the presence of God is in this place, inviting those who don't know Jesus, so that those who are far off will know him. We embrace it today, Lord, for ourselves first, and then for others. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, just before we transition this service, this precious moment, with every head bowed and every eye still closed, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve enjoyed face-to-face, open communion with God, literally, physically. I don't know what that was like, but it describes it. And that God would show up each evening in the garden to talk and walk with them. There was a day that they made a decision. They didn't want God anymore. They were going to go their own way. The Bible calls that sin. When we go our own way, we turn and we turn from God's way, and they believe the lie of Satan that there was another way. Of course, there are no other ways. And in that moment, sin entered their life. And it entered humanity. And every one of us, the Bible says, is born in sin, separated from God. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day on that day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. God began to call them, Adam, where are you? Adam knew where he was, and God knew where Adam was, but God wanted Adam to realize, you've done something that has separated us. Adam confessed what he had done, and God gave a promise to all mankind. In that moment in Genesis chapter 3, God said, my son will come and destroy the work of sin and Satan, and no longer will humanity be separated. That Jesus died on the cross, took our place, paid the price for sin. If you're in the service today or online and you recognize you today are separated from God, you've never invited Jesus into your life, you've never experienced Jesus and a relationship with him, today I'm inviting you to no longer be separated from his presence or even hiding, but today he's called you by name. You're hearing it even right now. And just respond, yes, Lord. We're going to pray a prayer together in a moment. And you're basically going to say in that prayer, God, I'm a sinner. And God's going to say, I know, but I have a solution for that. If that's you today and you'd like to pray a prayer of invitation to have your sins forgiven, to receive eternal life, I'm going to count down from three, two, and one. When I reach one, simply raise your hand today. No one's looking. This is private, but it is a holy moment. I believe that God is calling names here today. If that's you, don't be separated any longer. In 3, 2, 1, raise your hand. Just say, Pastor, pray for me today. I want to receive Jesus. Is there anyone today? I don't see a hand, but Harvest, I never not want to pray this prayer. So for someone online or for someone in the room that maybe wasn't brave enough, let's be reminded and pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me, that you called me my name today. I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to be separated for all of eternity. I want to come into your presence. I need a Savior. I know you died for me. I accept your provision for my sin. I know that you rose again on the third day to set me free. I receive eternal life. I receive a new destiny. I receive you. I come into the light and receive you now in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, come on, stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a moment.
This morning, God, we thank you for this word that we will be people of your presence. God, we will pursue, prioritize your presence being with you. God, we thank you for these moments together. We thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. God, we love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, hey, Harvest, we love you. Just a reminder, step one next service. And what's happening Wednesday, first Wednesday, come on out at 7 o'clock. See you then.